Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. So it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, or whenever you listen to it, happy day. I am walking around the loop in Chicago at the corner of Washington and Dearborn at the Christmas Kindle Market. I just finished working a promo, and I wanted to throw an episode up because we're short of an episode this week. Why are we short of an episode this week? Well, we recorded a Christmas album on Monday in Chicago at the Hungry Brain, and that is about, I don't know, 50% edited. It should be done today. It's coming out really well. I also like to apologize for my breath right now. I'm carrying a lot of weight on my back, and it's making me not sound good. Anyways, this is a nice little snippet of an episode. It's a short one. It's a good one. I interviewed the Future Hits. The Future Hits are a band that played their first show on Tuesday at the Hungry Brain. That's not necessarily a reason to interview anyone, but they are made up of veterans of the Chicago music scene, and their music isn't just for indie fans and stuff like that. Their music is for kids. The Future Hits is a group fronted by Matt Barron, who's writing these songs for children to learn. He's an ESL teacher on the northwest side of Chicago, and he's got this great Kickstarter fund that I hope you could throw some money at. It's to record this album, and it includes curriculum plans, and well, they'll explain it. That's why they're on the show. Then after that, I talked to CJ Toledano, one of my older friends. We just worked the promo today together. Last time I talked to him, and I think the last time he was on the show, we were in New York together. And before that, I think I talked to him via Skype in Vegas. Before that, I think it was in LA via Skype. So CJ and I are finally in the same city on Thanksgiving Day, so that's that. And yeah, I hope you're having a good Thanksgiving or whatever. I don't know. You could be Canadian. Whatever this day is to you, enjoy the Thursday. It's a day. It's nothing wrong with that. Chicago is nice. It's nice to see everyone again. Everyone was very, very nice at the Christmas recording. We have a name for the album. It'll be revealed shortly.
Oh, reveal like it's a huge deal.
No, it's fun. It's fun. This Sunday night at the Whistler, we'll be doing You, Me, Them, Everybody live. It's going to be good. Oh, I sound like I'm dying or something because I'm walking with so much weight. I have flyers in my back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a glamorous position, but it pays the bills, and there's no shame in that. And so Sunday night, Whistler, get there like 8 if you want to see. We're going to start at 9. It's always a packed room, so get there early if you can. Good show. Seth and Kellen are comedic duo. They were featured in the Red Eye yesterday as one of the 7 people to watch in comedy in Chicago. Parts and Labor is the music. And the head bartender from the Whistler will be our guest. So we'll learn all about fancy drinks. Monday night, we'll be at the Hungry Brain for You, Me, Them, Everybody Live again. That's doors at 8, show at 9. A man almost hit me in a car. Wendy McClure, author Wendy McClure, will be there. Joe Kilgallen, a comedian you should know. And music from Amy Soraya. She's a very talented woman. She's done the show before. Last time you heard her on this show, it was part of our Sábado Gigante marathon show, and she played an accordion. I apologize. Very, very good. I enjoyed it immensely. What else? Tuesday night. I'm doing this out of the top of my head. I apologize if I forget anything. Tuesday night at the Hungry Brain Pizza Film Fest, part 2. We did it last year. Thanks to the delightful Tia Ayers. And Tia Ayers will be back in town all the way from L.A. That's a song. That's got to be all the way from L.A. That's got to be a song. Oh, man, this does not sound good. Like, I'm not horribly out of shape right now. My back is so whatever. Why did I decide to do this walking? That was a poor decision. Anyways, hope you're having a good Thanksgiving and all that good stuff. Last note. It's not really business, but I wanted to say congratulations to Amy and Chuck, who have both been on the show before. I was able to attend their wedding with Kelsey in Roswell, Georgia on Saturday, and we had a great time, and congratulations. And I don't know if I said this before, but congratulations to Jackie. We were able to go to Jackie's wedding, and she was on the first live show, so congratulations, everyone that's done the show and is now married. It was very awesome of you to invite us to your weddings. We enjoyed them quite a bit. So without further ado, here's a little bit of the music from Tuesday night of the Future Hits. Then we talked to the band. Then CJ and I spent Thanksgiving together. All right, here it is, the show. So who am I talking to?
Hi, this is Matt Barron.
This is Ben Sutherland.
This is Emma Hospelhorn.
And all of you are?
We're called Future Hits.
Okay, what is Future Hits?
Future Hits is a band that was formed to play curriculum-based rock songs that I started writing for teaching with at two Chicago public schools.
Who was the first member? You were the first member of the band, obviously.
Yes.
And then who did you bring in next?
Ben, actually, he and I had been talking for... No, Emma. I called Emma.
Emma! Jesus, Emma, why did...
I played before Emma and I ever played, but I had spoken with Emma before Ben.
Emma, why did you join the band?
Because it's such a cool project. It's helping kids learn through music. God, I sound so cheesy.
Yeah, you do. Ben?
Yeah, well, I knew Matt's songs that didn't have anything to do with curriculum, okay. And they were just really great kind of unusual structures and very interesting. So when I heard that he was doing songs for school kids, I thought that was really, really cool. So we got together to see how we played together.
Are these songs easier to write than Baron Von Something? The same? Is it different? How do you approach them? Should I ask you any questions?
No, that's a great question. They're a lot simpler, actually, because the way it works is I work with various teachers on a weekly basis and get the curriculum for that week, whether it's vocabulary words, spelling words, themes.
Because isn't your specialty ESL?
ESL, English as Second Language. So by putting these in song form, these lessons in song form, it sort of helps... align it to ESL standards.
Okay, so you're writing not about like just arithmetic or just whatever.
Not at all.
But you're able to teach them to ESL for your ESL class.
The themes of the song are actually mostly like character education, which is kind of a big thing.
What is character?
Oh, it's like loyalty, honesty. It's like teaching kids about like good character. So like a lot of times I'll talk to them about the songs after, and I'll say like, you know, like in Yellow Boat, for example, about like. Have, you know,
I don't know.
Like being, you can have an inanimate object, but have it be something that means a lot to you.
Okay,
and like talk to them about that.
You could make mom her favorite food if she's sick.
Instead of playing video games, you can do something nice for your mom at home. So like I'll tie that in with the songs as well.
I had no idea there were actually morals. I thought these were about vocabulary. I joined this band under false pretense.
Yes. They're rooted in that, but as I take a step back and as I keep going on with them. I kind of improvise a lot when I'm doing the lessons. I see this is a good direction to take it in, or that's a good direction to take it in. It's not anything I consciously sit down and try and do. I basically look at the words, so I have a set of words to start with, and then the songs just come out really quickly.
Have you ever written for children before?
No.
We just see lyric sheets. Emma and I see lyric sheets with. These are double O words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are, you know, compound words or something like that.
But so now I'm wondering, because so I know that the vocabulary words in the songs align with Illinois curriculum standards.
Yes.
Are they also aligning with the what's it called, SEL, social emotional learning standards?
They might. See, now...
Should look that up.
The common... There's a tier of learning standards that do have to do with social emotional and they do. I do sometimes tie them in for that and I put them on the actual lessons. Cool. So that was sort of an afterthought though. All this stuff, the way it's kind of been working is I write the songs and then stuff happens with them that I didn't really set out to happen.
But you're still playing with Baron Von Something, you're still doing other music.
Yeah. But this has been my main focus.
Okay. And you guys are also in other bands, kind of. You're a drummer, so you play with
And experimental musician, electronics, computers, that kind
of thing. Not like this stuff.
Composer, not like this stuff.
And you're in Hollows.
Yes.
Which is different than this.
It is different than this.
Is it different than this?
None of our songs align to any curriculum, and Hollows is a girl garage group, and we play. It's a slightly different style of music, although there's still a lot of harmonies in it. I certainly don't get to play flute in Hollows.
Yeah, there's flute.
So, yeah, there's flute.
You What do you hope that this this seems like an instant success, regardless of what happens? It's like you at least feel good about it, regardless if you play to 2 people or 200 people. Because no matter what, the songs will like live on versus a garage band. No offense, your band actually will live on. My band, not so much. You know my band's name? No, exactly. Perfect. That's the point. It seems like you've set yourselves up for like victory. God, that sounds so shitty. Anyways,
we're gunning for victory.
You're gunning for victory. Don't name the album that.
Gunning for victory.
Do you have an album name?
Right now it's
Gunning for Victory.
Gunning for Victory.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Victory Records, of course, the best label in the world.
Chicago based.
Yeah, there's anyways, Kickstarter. Let's close with the Kickstarter. Right. Let's get you guys some money. You have a Kickstarter fund.
Correct.
Okay, we did a thing on stage. I don't know if you're going to hear it on this podcast because you're not the quickest with the tongue. Your bandmates helped you out quite a bit. So let's start with the bandmates. What? You're a delightful man. But come on. Okay. You guys are in the band. You're part of this. Why should people donate to the Kickstarter fund?
What Matt's doing is actually a super cool project that's incorporating music in schools, which, as everyone knows, is a super underfunded thing. Music programs get cut all the time. This is, if he gets this CD, who knows what could come out of it with like vocab sheets and whatever else. I just think it's such a cool way to integrate a kind of a new way of learning these topics in classrooms. And so if he gets it funded, he can try to start implementing it in more schools than just the 2 groups of kids that are lucky enough to have him as a teacher.
And all the information for the Kickstarter fund is on this podcast. All you have to do is link to it. If you're listening on an iPhone or a smartphone, just click the link, donate to Matt. Matt's a good man. He's not going to spend it on Coke. Good job, Matt. No Coke, right?
Definitely not.
See, that's a good lesson for the kids.
Right. That should be my next character. That should be the name of the album, No Coke.
No Coke. All right, so the album is named No Coke / Gunning for Victory.
Right, and it could be double, so it could be like album. No Coca-Cola, because I don't promote Coca-Cola.
That's
so
true.
It could be like a double entendre.
Yeah, sure, why not? Any final words you want to tell the kids out there? Or the adults listening, because I don't think a lot of kids listen to podcasts.
Well, I guess the last thing is, like, you know, on the Kickstarter page, I have one frequently asked question that I put up there, is like, will I enjoy this album if I'm not a teacher or a first grade student? And the answer is yes, because I feel like the songs don't necessarily cater to kids other than the fact that they're chock full of what they need to be learning, but they're not pandering to them at all. So I think adults will enjoy this music as well. So if you don't have kids, or if you're not in first grade, or you're not a teacher, I think you'll like this album regardless.
Summer, here's a picture to last year. We love outside. Wonder when the sun will get
So I am with CJ Toledano. CJ, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Happy Thanksgiving, Brandon.
It is Thanksgiving. We're together on Thanksgiving. Why are we together on this delightful Thanksgiving?
Oh, because we're just the best of friends.
No, we're not. We're moderate acquaintances.
We're great. We're good friends. I think over the past few months we became great friends. But today, we're working together.
We are working together.
For a promo company passing out flyers down at the Thanksgiving Day Parade downtown Chicago.
Yeah, this is hilarious.
This is
we're living the dream.
The dream of us needing money, desperate cash.
So CJ and I are working for Direction. Direction, thank God for Direction.
Direction, yeah. It's saving my life.
It's saving my life. We're currently passing out flyers for a show that's not awful, but whatever. And we're at the Thanksgiving Day Parade, and we've been freezing for 3 hours, so we stopped in to get warm and do a podcast real quick. CJ, 3 months ago,
man.
You would not be thinking, this is what I'm going to be doing on Thanksgiving.
If this is where it pays off. To the people who listen to your show, you know, maybe 5 months ago, I was talking extensively on how to write packets for talk shows, and then eventually, if you listened even further, you would know that I got the job at Fallon, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Well, right now I'm working for $15 an hour on Thanksgiving morning, passing out flyers for a few, I wish I could say a couple hundred bucks, but no. For 4 hours, $15 an hour, Thanksgiving morning, with Brandon.
Yeah.
To make extra cash, because I no longer work at Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and I live in Chicago, which, you know what? Sounds sad, but I'm actually very happy about.
I want to point that out. You do not seem depressed at all.
No, not really, because it just, you know, I've grown older in these past few months.
Yeah.
And realize that, you know, sometimes things don't work out and things aren't exactly as you think they are.
It could be worse.
It could be way worse, especially, yeah, it could be way worse. I'm fine. Just trying to make ends meet.
And you're doing well.
Yeah, I think I'm doing okay.
You got a good support system going on. I mean, you don't miss your family on this day of thanks. You've spent enough time with your mother, and you see your sister often enough, so you're not like some vagabond.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been some family changes in the past few years to where, you know, these holidays are a little less traditional. So I decided, you know, for once, because I've always heard of people having Friendsgivings, and they stay back at wherever they live, and they spend Thanksgiving with their friends. I always, you know, wanted to do that, and here I am in Chicago.
So in a way, you are living the dream.
You know, this is a dream of mine. I've had a dream to do this. And so, yes, I am achieving one of those dreams.
All right.
One of them. So,
do you have any advice for the comics on Thanksgiving that aren't living the dream, that are stuck at home? If there's one thing that you wish you could have done now, that you couldn't have done before, what is that?
In terms of Thanksgiving?
Yes, in terms of this day of thanks.
I would take advantage. If your home situation is perfect and glamorous, then first of all, fuck you. But, you know, enjoy it.
How would you enjoy it? What's your ideal Thanksgiving?
You know, don't fight with your family. Don't let them get to you when they ask you how your career is going. Or, you know, don't...
Is that why you didn't go home?
You know, I mean, I think it would be a big topic conversation how I couldn't have survived at Late Night with Jimmy Fallon in New York City. I mean, it's not the thing I didn't survive, but, you know, people have different expectations for you because they're not you. They think, you know, you achieve certain things and you can just do everything. And when you don't, it's because you gave up. Well, it's not because you gave up. It's because the system is different than you think it is. Yeah.
Occupy?
Not occupy. Everyone just needs to stop complaining and just do what they need to do. And if
so, you're the 1%.
I don't. Yeah, sure. Because, yeah, I would love to be the 1% again.
Oh, we got to go back to passing on flyers. Yeah. What do you hope happens? You're going to be hosting the Pizza Film Festival on Tuesday night. Yeah. I will see you a few more times until then. What do you hope happens in the next 5 days that makes the Pizza Film Fest a success?
You know, I just hope that it gets colder. Here's the thing about Chicago in the winter. It gets real shitty and cold. And people, when they go to these events like this, they go to a dive bar. The commute to that place is horrendous.
Yes.
But when you get to the place... Everyone loves it. Like they love that they survived the commute, and everyone's so much more, you know, warmer and like warmer literally. And
I had no idea. That makes total sense. I never thought about that.
And people bond. And people, instead of just like five people closing out a bar, everyone closes out because everyone's just dreading the walk home and just want to get shit-faced drunk. And yeah, I think that's what I like about the seasons here is that people tend to bond more. When they have one general complaint, and that's real shitty and cold.
That's really interesting. I never thought of that.
So, yeah, that's why I like winter here. And I spent winter in L.A. last year, and I missed it. I missed it here.
So. Welcome back.
Thank you.